Hello, world. Welcome to the Inside. What's that? Well, yes, that is new theme music. I'm glad you noticed. Yeah, that's some pretty sweet stuff. Tom and I rolled out a new hot summer cut for this episode. Yes, this is the Inside Ride a Top 20 Train podcast. And myself, Kevin Brennan, and Tom Cody, both of us from Top 20 Training, are here to chat with you for episode 23. Today, we talk about burnout, educator burnout. We talk about what we can do about it. We talk about how grateful we are for the educators across this country, but also the planet. And we give you some tips on making sure you are your best self by taking care of yourself in these days and weeks that you have off. So thanks so much, folks, for being along for this week's ride.
Happy summer. 100 degrees today, Mr. Brennan, in St. Paul, Minnesota. I think winter's finally over. I put the snow shovel in the garage. I think 100 is a good indicator that we are either in Africa or we're in the summer.
Yeah. Well, I'm a good Minnesotan, and I'm always aware and ready in case that snow flies. But it's sure seeming like we're going to get demolished by heat today.
But you're certainly not ready for 100 because you have a task this afternoon.
Yep, I got a task that's going to require one of my sons for sure. I got two AC units that are going into windows. I live in a 100-plus-year-old house, and I'm going to need the big boy to bring the big boy down from the attic.
So a little bit of a lesson on the don't feel like it, don't wanna, don't need to put it in yet.
Yep.
Love to watch procrastinators put in AC today. That's great.
Yep. Maybe I'll videotape it. Maybe I'll rock a GoPro so people can see the pain and sweat and the salt stinging my eyes as I'm navigating, trying not to yell at my son for holding it too high or too low. That's okay.
Also, listeners, educators out there, wishing you a happy summer. I hope you're finding things to do. Today's episode is kind of dedicated to teachers' summer and fighting this stress, overwhelmed feeling. I had a privilege of meeting Kevin's daughter, Cecilia, a week or two ago at her open house. And I was just so thrilled that Cecilia was talking about joining our most noble profession on the planet. She wants to be a elementary teacher, right, Dad?
Absolutely. Music to my ears.
She's going off to college in North Dakota. She may find something else she wants to do, but at least she's got an intent around joining our crusade. And it just, in a time where we're not hearing much of that, that was music to my ears, you know, too.
So. And it's neat. It's refreshing to be reminded of what pulls us to that profession, because she's not sitting here talking about, I just really want to teach these kids how to spell. I really want to have them have great handwriting. Watching her try to decide what she wants to pursue academically in college, it just keeps coming back to helping someone, helping people, being there for someone. So you naturally hear things, maybe I'm a counselor, maybe I'm theater department head, maybe I'm this, maybe I'm that. And I'm like, you're built for this thing called school. Because you get to help everyone constantly, and as much as you give, you get fueled up, and that. But it's tough, is it not? That's why we kind of want to take this podcast to talk about that, because it's educators give so much,
we're gonna get into that today. We're gonna talk about what you're giving and how we might be able to help you out. I hope this half hour, 40 minutes, is something that will be helpful to you. Right before I talked to Cecilia, I talked to a principal director of curriculum in a small town in South Dakota, and they're losing like 2/3 of their staff. It's phenomenal.
Why? What's going on without getting specifics?
A couple retire, a couple want to go sell tires, a couple want to, I don't know. I mean, we know this. It was the hardest year ever in education, which is weird because we thought the year before would be the hardest year ever in education. But somehow things just started piling up on people this year, and people, we're running into a lot of, doom and gloom. I mean, it's, this is not a good time for education. The Uvalde shooting in Texas is not helpful.
No.
Parents are frustrated with teachers. This is a hard time to be an educator, but it's the most important time. You've heard me say this before on podcasts. America's broken. Our culture is completely shattered right now. There's just too much negativity in politics, comedy, sports. And the solution is not architects. The solution is not ballet dancers. It's teachers working with these kids, like Cecilia is going to work with these kids. and that will transform our culture. At 70 years old, what else? It's my only hope. I don't know what else is going to change this, but the next generation coming up.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And education, I mean, at the most simple form, educators have access to all these beings pre-K to 12, you know, in America. That's how it works here. We have access for the most part to these kids, and we have the opportunity to show a healthy, effective norm. And all I mean by that is, you know what? We help each other. You know what? We don't talk poorly about each other. You know, if there's a problem, we find a way to fix it without dismantling someone's reputation. I mean, these children are literally forced to go shoulder into a negative culture out there due to this influx in information, due to the influx in false information, due to peer pressure that we've never seen before. Like, I'm 45. I experienced peer pressure with what kind of Converse I was going to wear. These kids are worried about the Converse they're going to wear based on 50 million social media sites telling them their Converse have been out of style for 2-3 years. You know, so there's this extra layer with kids, but educators and schools have the opportunity and the say to create an environment, bring them up in an environment, and hope that that starts settling into them so that they can be a wonderful catalyst when they get out.
Yeah, and ideally, when your kid goes to school next September again, your fourth grader heads up to school, they walk in, and there's a happy, healthy, effective adult standing there. Mm-hmm. The problem is, and we want to get into a little bit this morning, or maybe you're listening to this at midnight, we want to get into is the happy, healthy adult is struggling. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have heard struggle, not from everybody.
But
a lot of teachers, they're fried, they're stressed, they're burned out, they're freaking, and they just had too much piled on them. So we're going to get into a couple things we've run into, a couple people we've run into. One you heard last week, if you haven't heard the Ken Essay, that's E-S-S-A-Y podcast from last week, I think we had a lot of people download that and listen. It's worth a listen when you're done with us today. Because he talks a lot about an interesting take on this stress and overwhelmed, which is still burning in my ears, which is it's not the classroom, it's not the hallways, it's not the papers to correct that are freaking out teachers. What was it, Kevin?
It's not being able to be present with your immediate family. If you have a child that has a dance concert or a musical concert, a dance, whatever they call dance things, whatever you do.
Recital.
There you go. If there's a soccer match, if there's a football game, if there's all these things, not being able to take care of the things that complete you, you know what I mean? Whatever that may be. You know, if you have family, it's family. If you're single, it's whatever's the thing that gets you fulfilled and energized. And because of the demands of education and the demands of these last couple of years, people are stretched thin, and the sacrifice is happening outside the halls too. You know, back home. So,
right, you got to supervise the dance at school, so you miss your wife's, I don't know, work party, and you feel bad about that, but. The other person that was supposed to supervise the dance at school got COVID.
Right. You know?
Then the next day you got a sub fifth period. Why? Mm-hmm. Well, this other guy's wife has got COVID and there's no daycare, you know? Mm-hmm. So the domino effect of this virus and the outside pressures that already are inherent to teaching. Remember, you make 10,000, write this one down, teachers. You make 10,000 decisions a day in the classroom. That was before the virus era. Mm-hmm. But those 10,000 decisions add up to how your day goes, you know, and it's really hard when you put this extra pressure on. But I think that Ken made a good point about really trying to literally write down the four things you want out of this next year for yourself. And if schools get in the way of that, you may have to tell the principal, I can't do that dance. I literally am committed to my family. I'm committed to Sean and Colin at home at the Brennan house. I can't do that. And frankly, Kevin, you do a very good job of that with our work. You know, when we have something going on, we get bumped if it's got family first, whether it's soccer or whatever. And I think that that's admirable.
It's but it's interesting what happens in my own inner world in those moments, because that's hard. And so it's going to be hard for educators to go to their principal and say, I'm sorry, I cannot help during this time because of this. That's going to be difficult. And it's not that teachers, educators should just get whatever they want whenever they want. It's not like we're saying just go ahead and write your own schedules. We're just saying be advocates in a healthy team first way. And Ken Essay was a great example of it seems to me, of an administrator that is willing to hear and listen and at least do what he can. You know, teachers don't want a sub if they're a classroom teacher. And I'll tell you why. Because not because they don't like the kids, not because they don't want more time in a classroom. They do. They love that stuff. They have stuff they got to get done. They got to prep. They got to grade. They got to mentally prepare for conflict. I mean, 10,000 decisions, you just said, Tom. So when they get pulled to sub, which is part of the gig, part of the game, there's a sacrifice. There's a cost. And as we heard Ken say, that cost over time starts wearing people down and we get into something called burnout, you know? And like you said, Tom, it's not because they have too many things to grade, although that's a portion of it. That was definitely a factor for me. But it's the other things, the other costs that kind of happen over time that start really wearing away at educators.
Let me say this about burnout. This is a Tom Cody line. Burnout has nothing to do with your age. I know that teachers are saying I'm 54 and I'm burned out. I'm 48. I'm 61. I got to get out of school now because I'm burned out. It's who you're hanging with. It's negativity. It's failure to be able to live up to your purpose, you know, where your purpose is family. And so you're feeling fried, burned out, stressed, overwhelmed, whatever you want to pick for the words. But it is not a factor of age. If you've heard me talk before, and some of you are familiar with me, my story was I was completely burned out at 26 years old and 28 and 31. I was fried, man. I was hanging around negative people. I was living in a world of we call below the line. Mm-hmm. And that's burnout, is that you're hanging out with this, whether it's social media, whether it's who you're having lunch with. The crew, let's just say I didn't run with guys like Kevin Brennan back in the day. I ran with some other crew, and they were not as happy, positive people like you are, Kevin, or Paul, or Willow, the people we hang with now.
And did you think that was going back? Did you just think, like, did you have the thought, well, this is normal. This is life. This is how it is.
What it was, looking back, it was mostly selfish. It was just ego, selfish. Everything is about me. And I like to criticize anybody who wasn't like me, including the students and the basketball players and the officials. But I just thought it was, since it's all about me all the time, well, then I'm burned out because these other people keep asking me, like, help them.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I thought teaching was about showing off how smart I was.
Hmm.
I mean, this is a sad thing to admit. But I know there's teachers that have that demon inside them that they just like being on stage like me, and they like having a podcast where you can just expound people what you think. And that's all going inside me still, but I'm different now. I'm just more aware at 70 years old that stress and burnout, all that, some of that's a choice. You literally, and this isn't going to, teachers, you're not going to love this next couple sentences. I don't know that if you leave our profession right now, that you're going to find lack of stress anywhere else. Kevin's got stress today as a dad. My financial advisor, I saw him the other day. You don't think he's stressed with the market? You don't think realtors are stressed? They can't sell. They're selling 9 houses a day. You don't think they're stressed?
Right.
You know, everybody, there's nurses, no stress there. Over the last 2.5 years, you know? So I think if we're all thinking about leaving the profession because it's going to be stress-free, it might be less stressful or less overwhelming to not have 140 seventh graders running at you every day. But I don't know. I don't know that that's the solution.
Yeah, because individuals have to look at themselves. And you, to all of you people that may be looking at making this decision to leave education, if you're one, You got to ask yourself, are you going to give less to whatever you do next? You're not. You're not going to give less to your family. You're not going to give less. If your to-do list at your next job is X, Y, and Z, you're not going to give that less. You're going to give it you, which is great and a beautiful thing. So that's just something to think about as well. Whenever I'm caught thinking the grass is greener, I'm always remembered, a gentleman told me, well, yeah, the grass is greener, but there's a cost to that green grass, whatever that is, you know? And so people have to make their decisions. We're not sitting here. We're definitely not guilting teachers into staying. We're definitely not saying bad decisions if you're leaving education. You have to look at your heart and your home and everything and your purpose as an individual and make decisions. But we're here to remind that there's some tools to help take care of your inner life. Tom said he was burning out, and then he all of a sudden became a little more aware of what was going on inside of him. And awareness leads to action. And there's some small little things, and this comes from all of our catalog here at Top 20. We at Top 20 Training, as a social emotional learning company, we have so many small little tools to help you be more effective in the way you think, learn, and communicate. We have ways to be effective in the classroom, in businesses, on fields, in your families, as coaches, whatever it is. And one of them, Tom just said, it's almost step one. It's like, you got to be aware of what's going on between your ears. Because Tom had a very highly effective, fast-moving brain. But if you picture his brain as a series of cogs, there was a wrench stuck in there. And Tom just kept going. And those cogs kept going, but eventually they started just kind of grinding away at that wrench, grinding away at that wrench, grinding away at that wrench. So he's still functioning, but just not at his top ability. And until we can recognize, hey, there's a bleepity bleeping wrench up there, I got to deal with that, we're going to get the same results, right, Tom? So you got to be aware, then what?
Yeah, the formula that Kevin alluded to, I call AAA, and it's not like the AAA Auto Club. Asleep, aware, act. I was not stressed out, burned out, freaked out because I was like intentionally doing that. I was asleep. I was just asleep to this ability I had. Once I became aware of it, that lasted about a year where I just had awareness.
Yeah.
So then I would rip a lady at conferences still. But afterwards I go, oh, I was broken when I did that. Well, that's nice. Awareness is not as good as the third A, which is action, which is like, don't do that no more. You know, so we say it with me, audience: asleep, aware, act. Hopefully today we're going to try to take you from asleep to aware. And then it's up to you if you want to take action on any of this stuff.
Asleep, aware, act. So what, you want to get into 90-10?
Yeah, because here's the deal. And this is in our books. And there's people that have trouble when we ever use numbers because
I'm one of them.
I know. We contend that life is 90% your inside reaction and about 10% your outside conditions. Now, this is going to be a tough sell today with COVID invading our world, because you're like, wait a minute, it's the outside world has way more effect on my life than 10%. I don't know that that's true. And again, I've been on the planet for 7 decades. I'm pretty convinced now that about, and I don't know, maybe call it 82% if you'd rather, but I'm convinced that about 90% of what happens in my day occurs in the space between my earlobes. Like, my experience pretty much is controllable. You know, it's 100 degrees today. I'm going to go meet my friends on the river and we're getting on a boat. It's going to be hot. That's the 10%. I'm going to have a great time. I certainly wouldn't have gone years ago because the outside would have determined my inside and said, I can't enjoy this. You know, I'll probably have a beer on the river. How bad is that going to be? You know,
that sounds ideal. And yeah. You know what? Hey, there's my beautiful wife, Tom.
Hey, hi. She's got a face made for our podcast.
She does.
And she's bringing you a treat.
She's bringing me a treat. Let's just let the world in on the secret. This is amateur hour.
And you think? And well, sometimes, let's let them in on another secret.
And sometimes you get eggs delivered to your podcast during a live recording?
There's two secrets. One, this is amateur hour. Two, Kevin married up. Like, let's just get that straight right away to our listeners. Is he? I don't know how he conned her into this, but Gina,
No, definitely.
You did well, sir.
So
90-10.
Yep.
Think about this. I met a girl once in sixth grade with a broken arm, and she was going to come to my basketball camp. Her name was Ann. And she walks in. I think she's going to ask for her money back. And she at the time, I'm still goofy. But she says, I'm just going to sit at camp and listen and learn. I've got this experience this week called basketball camp. I'm not going to let this outside thing control my experience of this basketball camp. So she just wandered around next to me and listened to everything all week.
Wow.
She actually became a very good high school player. But she did it. I mean, I was like, a sixth grader can do this?
Right.
She can take broken arm and decide what she wants to do with that experience, you know? Mm.
It's not easy.
No.
Here's another thing. It's not easy.
No.
We're not saying taking care of your inner life is easy. You know, this 90-10, whether it's 82, whatever, it's not easy.
Well, you know
when you start thinking about what the other option is, it's like what Michael Cole, our former partner, one of the greatest people on the planet, said, well, give it a go, trying to control your inside experience. And if it doesn't go well for you, go back to being crappy. Right?
Yeah, you told me go back to being pathetic if you don't like this stuff. It's called blame. Like, if you want to turn the switch and make 90% of your life what's happening to you, then you got to be good at blame. B-L-A-M-E. You have to be really good at being dysfunctional enough to pin your whole life on your wife, the weather, the Minnesota Vikings, whatever you want to spend your time in blame. That is the antithesis of what we're talking about here. Mm. And I was like world-class letter jacket winner of blame back in the day. I was all about my family, basketball refs, the principal. Everybody was out to make my day bad in my brain. And so I was just spewing out blame like pretty much 24/7. And right now, I don't know that there isn't a second pandemic in this country with the Omicron variant or whatever is one, but the blame is the second one.
Mm-hmm.
U.S. Congress, Fauci, just so many things. Everybody's fault. It's everybody else's fault, you know? And right now, I think that's a pandemic that we can actually do something about. I don't know about the COVID variant.
Well, the moment right before blame is called vulnerability. And not many people are comfortable with that. And not many people have, well, some people that don't have a mindset of something's occurred, it may be my fault, what can I do to make it better? Naturally, you go to blame. You put up the shield and you deflect, you know, because then you feel better, you know. I watched Colin at his soccer game last night, you know, kids on the other team were blaming each other for this, that, and the other. And of course, it was at the root of that kid, that child making a mistake. So it starts young. This blame thing. And you're right. It has become normative. I mean, no one in the United States of America can watch any election on any level without seeing blame lead the charge. I don't care where you stand, what political camp, where you're at, which spectrum, I don't care. There is so much blame. And here's the problem as a person that tries to listen is it gets in the way and it clouds it clouds purpose, it clouds accuracy, you know, and it's a smoke screen. So ask yourself, friends, ask yourself, what role is blame playing in your life when maybe you're not getting the results you want to be getting, or in a moment where there's a mistake has happened, and is blame your go-to? And if it is, okay, don't beat yourself up over it. If it is, try something different. Try saying, okay, what can I control here? Can I just own it? Can I get curious? Curiosity is one of the things that helps us navigate mistakes and conflict most effectively. Can I just be curious enough to not say it's Tom's fault, it's Willow's fault, it's Paul's fault, it's Gina's fault, it's Mike's fault? You know, can I just be curious about my role?
We've all blamed, but ask yourself this important question. Has that blame ever produced something positive, amazing, and wonderful in your life? I contend the answer to that is going to be no.
Right.
But we still do it. And I love what Kevin said 10 minutes ago. This is hard. This is hard. Teaching the last 2 years has been extremely challenging because the kids, well, part of the reason is that eighth graders, they had 2 years of, they weren't really totally in school. So now you got a bunch of fifth graders running around to eighth grade middle school, you know, kind of masquerading as taller people.
Yeah.
And you got different stuff in the hall and some kid throws his carrots at another kid. I mean, there's just different little things that also undermine you trying to be purposeful as an educator because you're dealing with knucklehead stuff too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's the technical term, knucklehead stuff.
Yeah, knucklehead. And here's something else, Tom. I was having this conversation with an administrator that was at my daughter's open house. He was just telling me the story about he had to remove a, you know, he had to remove a gun from a kid this year at school. And it's a terrifying story. I mean, blah, 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 blah. But the point is, here's the thing. I remember being a knucklehead, a respectful knucklehead. I remember being a knucklehead in high school. And I remember the moment when a friend of mine, a peer of mine, embarrassed me, ridiculed me publicly. It was an awful moment at lunch. I felt small. I felt little. I felt like nothing. I felt embarrassed. And I remember walking out of that lunchroom and I remember in my head thinking, what am I going to do about this? What am I going to do to make this right with this kid? Not the good right. And I didn't do anything, thank God. But the point is, when young adults don't have a habit of being aware of what's going on up top, they don't have a chance to then say, what can I do before I act? You see? And the 90-10 rule is being aware of, okay, well, I know this thing just happened in the lunchroom and you're embarrassed and you're having all these feelings, young Kevin. What can you control internally so that you don't go and make this thing even bigger? I mean, it was an awful experience for me. And we see examples of this all over the country with kids where they don't have the tools to pause, evaluate, and make a decent decision. And I don't blame them because they haven't been taught. And that's a big plug. I'm going to just do a big plug for our company. That's what we do. We give kids the tools and strategies to navigate more effectively. We are not miracle workers. It's not a 100% accuracy rate. But I feel very strongly that a kid, a very young kid, if he can be aware of his indicators, that means feelings and behaviors that let him know he's kind of off, he's below the line, his thinking isn't working. If a kid can be aware of that, we're one step closer to that kid then being able to self-manage effectively, which is one of the heart tenets of social emotional learning, you see? And you learned it later, you know, you started, you said you had a year of awareness before you went to, okay, time out.
Yeah, but I was 47, you know, this is why I get a little bit jealous when I'm talking to sixth graders. When I'm doing a session with 10th graders and I watch some light go on with a kid, I'm a little bit jealous that this kid at 16 is going to have this 31 years earlier than I did. And again, I'm not dumb. I got a high SAT. I got valedictorian medals in my drawer. I'm not dumb. I was just life dumb. But I'll tell you what, Kevin, looking at me, the Tom 1.0 that I was describing back in the day, stressed out, burned out, Tom, during COVID teaching. Oh, lordy, lordy. That would have been ugly. That would have been ugly, man. I mean, entering this, and I'll tell you what, I have met hundreds of educators during COVID on Zoom and live and wherever we can do. Man, there's some people out there that are very well connected to this idea of inside life. They've done way better than the ones who don't have that ability, let's just say.
And yeah,
everybody experienced the same conditions, but not everybody had the same experience, you know. So
absolutely
wrapping this up, a couple things. One, commercial first. Kevin just referred, we want to come to your school in August or October or whatever. Like, if you're listening to this, get us on the horn, contact us at info@top20training.com. Number two, get signed up for Wednesday Wellness. That is a easy thing. Every Wednesday, you're going to get a little thing from our director, Paul Burnaby. You'll get this podcast link. You'll get Tuesday with Tom, 1 minute tweet deal. You're going to get a thought of the day, you get a something around a book or something we have to offer you. But sign up for that Wednesday wellness.
Hey, and real easy to do that. Two ways to do that. Number one, go to our website, www.top20training.com. The 20 is numerical. And you just scroll down, and there's a little box that says connect with us. And just throw your email in there. We don't need to know numbers. We don't need to know anything. Put your email in there. You're automatically in. If you'd rather not do that, just email Kevin at top20training.com and say, add me to your list. No sweat.
And finally, we're going to end this with gratitude. Maybe you're sick of us thanking you, but I don't know that there's a human being in this country right now that's feeling overappreciated. Like, nobody's like, oh, stop it. I'm tired of being appreciated. Teachers, again, pat yourself on the back. Don't do that while you're driving, if you're listening. Nope. But pat yourself on the back. Get yourself a drink. Find a dock somewhere to look at water. Go for a walk. Go to a Twins game and sit in the outfield with your kid. Play golf. Travel. Or just read a book. Or go to Brugger's and get a bagel. Just take some time for yourself. You earned it.
Absolutely.
Take some time for yourself. You earned it. You did a good job. If you just got through these couple of years.
Yep. Yep. And the work you've done, you know, just so you know, and so it's perfectly clear, the work you've done makes such a difference that all of that cumulative work is catapulting a young woman into the field of education. My daughter's going into education because educators, pre-K through 12, were there for her, had her back, let her know she mattered, helped her struggle, walked her to her lockers, did all the good work, did all the hard work. Because of that, she's taken the next step. So I know there's times when it feels like it's thankless, but as a dad with a little girl going off to college, you know, you have my heart right now, educators. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Hey, we'll be back soon. Every year we're interrupted when Kevin goes to sell big booming fireworks off during fireworks season in North Dakota. But we'll be back in July with you, and we'll try to keep this up as regular as possible through the summer, because I know that it feeds some of your souls. So we're going to try to keep going. As long as people are listening, we're going to keep ranting here.
For sure.
So thanks. See you soon. Kevin, great to hear your voice again, and we'll talk soon, listeners.
Bye. Indeed. Indeed. See y'all later. And if you're in St. Paul, you better say hi to Kevin and Tom. See y'all. Episode 23. That is it. We, you know what? Enough. Let you get to your summer. Hopefully you're out there by a lake or in a tent or in your yard or on your porch or wherever you need to be to get yourself on track. We wish you all the best with tons of love from Top 20 Training. Thanks so much for being along for this week's ride.